Well, good afternoon, folks, and what a joy it is to be out this afternoon again and to fellowship with you, dear folks. And we do continue to pray for Pastor Lee and Dorothy, who are away, but we also welcome Graham and Sue, who are visiting with us, and good to have you, and may the Lord bless your time with us. Good to see everyone else here, and again, we just pray that the Lord has a blessing for us. So let's pray and ask the Lord's blessing upon his word. Let's pray. Our gracious God, our loving Heavenly Father, again we give Thee thanks for the afternoon. We thank Thee, Father, that we can gather together around Your Word, as Hebrews exhorts us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. And so, Father, it's good that we can meet around Your Word. And we do pray You take Your servant hiding behind the cross, let no man be seen, save Jesus only. And we'll be careful to give Thee the praise, the honor, and the glory in our Savior's precious name. Amen. Amen. Okay, well, last week we finished off a couple more sections of this study. As I said a couple of months ago, I put together a study called Behold the Man. And we started at his preparation, things that were happening before he was born. And there was a lot of preparation in relation to his birth. And then we looked at the Annunciation, where the angels announced his birth and so forth. Then there was the Incarnation, which we spoke of last week, which comes from the Greek word carnea, which is flesh. A carnivorous beast eats flesh. And so carnea means flesh, and our Lord was made flesh. He came among us in the form of a servant and so forth. Then we looked at the Adoration last week as well. Now we will look at the Presentation. The Presentation. We'll continue to look at chapter 2 of the Gospel of Luke, and Brother David read it and appreciate that. But chapter 2, as we know, is a wonderful chapter, and Luke himself is a physician. He's called Dr. Luke. He was a physician. He was an evangelist. He was a historian. He was the author of this gospel, and he also penned the Acts of the Apostles. So he was a busy man, there's no doubt about it. But as we continue to study this wonderful gospel, to me, he is a painter. He paints pictures, because there are many beautiful pictures within the book, the Gospel of Luke. Now, this passage of Scripture is so beautiful. It has so much information in it, in this passage that we read together today. It contains obedience to the law. It contains prophetic utterances. It contains a promise of life. It contains a life of faithfulness. And it contains a humble sacrifice, two turtle doves and so forth. Now, within this chapter, there are two men and two women and a six-week-old child to start off with. We see that he was conceived in the womb, verse 21 says, and when all the people were baptized, chapter 4, verse 21, and when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And so even before he was conceived in the womb, his name was to be called Jesus. And of course, we believe that conception is where life begins. That's where life begins, at conception. We already know Mary and Joseph, faithful parents indeed, and in obedience to the law, they bring Jesus to the local synagogue to be circumcised according to the law, as recorded in Leviticus 1:4. I'll read that for you now. And the Lord spoke to the children of Israel, saying, if a woman conceived and born a man child, then shall be clean 7 days, according to the days of her separation. For her infirmity shall she be unclean. And in the eighth day, the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised, and she shall then continue in the blood of her purifying 3 days. She shall touch no hallowed thing, nor come into the sanctuary until the days of her purifying be finished. There's a question there. And I want you to get the as you know, I love the details. So we have a second event, if you like. See, in verse 21, we have the child Jesus being circumcised. And so often I hear of these events being crammed into the one event. But in verse 22 it says, and when the days of purification according to the law of Moses was accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. The Lord is circumcised in verse 22 after about 40 days or 33 days from his circumcision, and that's whenever the purification was fulfilled, and then to the temple in Jerusalem. So two different events. Verse 21, we have the circumcision, then there's 33 days of purification, then according to the law of Moses, they make their way to fulfill the law and so forth. So they make their way to the temple in Jerusalem for his presentation to the Lord. Verse 22 again, and when the day of the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. And so, the first person we will look at is Simeon. Simeon. We will read the verses in a minute. But his name means one who hears. Simeon, one who hears. And he certainly was a man who was sensitive to the Lord's voice. In verses 25 and 26, I'll tell them to you. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the man was just and devout, waiting for the coming of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. This was a man of God. This was a man who was devout. He was waiting on the consolation of Israel, and he was filled with the Holy Ghost on him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. That's amazing, isn't it? That's amazing. Verse 25 and 26, the Spirit revealed unto him that he would not see death until he had seen the Lord's Christ. Now, I don't know how long he had been waiting to die, because he was really waiting to die. Because after he said, now my soul can depart and be with the Lord, and so forth. And we look at that in just a moment. But here is a wonderful man who's been told, well, you're not going to die. Doesn't matter what happens, you're not going to die until you see the Lord's Christ. And so he had an assurance of life until he met Christ. What a wonderful situation indeed. And the Spirit always speaks of Christ, not of himself. Secondly, guaranteed life until such time he would meet the Lord. And with godly patience and piety, he waited. Can you just imagine? The Lord says, well, it's now time to go to the temple. You're going to meet Christ. Oh, I'm going to die. That's what he's minded. See, you're not going to die until you meet the Christ. And one day, verse 27, and he came to the temple, and when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, after the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms. And I tried to, as you know, try to imagine myself in some of these places, and I wonder what was said between Simeon and Mary and Joseph. It just seemed, did he just come over and grab the child from Mary? No, I think there would have been some niceties that were passed along the way. And he took the child in his arms. So one day, where he met with Mary and Joseph. Now, we don't know what was, if anything at all, but Simeon was able to take the babe in his arms. And in verse 28, it says, then took he up in his arms and blessed God. Now, you'd think he would have blessed the child, which he did later, but he blessed God. Then he took him in his arms and blessed God and said. Now, we haven't got time to go into all the details of what he said. It would take an hour, two or three messages. He took him. He blessed him. He embraced him. He testified of salvation. He preached regarding his death, which was prophesied. And you know, whenever you look at that, he took him. We have taken Jesus. He blessed him. We bless the name of our Lord Jesus. He embraced him. We ought to embrace Christ in these days. He testified of salvation. We ought to be testifying of salvation. And all the things that Simeon did, we ought to be doing as Christians in these days. Every salvation starts with taking Christ. Everyone, salvation starts with taking Christ as Savior. Remember when Nicodemus came to him? And there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. He came to Jesus by night. And Jesus kind of interrupted what he was going to say. He says, you must be born again, Nicodemus. And so that's where life begins. That's where eternal life begins. By taking Christ, by embracing Christ, by testifying of salvation and witnessing regarding his death and soon return. And folks, just look around the situation today, all over the world, with the crime, with the, let's say, the immorality around Australia and other countries, with the wars in different parts of the world, with countries ganging up against Israel, the apple of God's eye. We have no problem in saying that the Lord's return is soon. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. And if you read about the days of Noah, it was a very immoral time in history. And we are right in the midst of that. And I believe the Lord's return is imminent, very soon. Okay, so he now wanted to depart in peace. Look it down to verse 28 and onwards. Then took he up in his arms and blessed God and said, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. Lord, you promised that I would die. That's what he's saying. Lord, you said I could depart whenever I've met the Christ child. And he met the Christ child and he wanted to depart in peace. Simeon was a man who was sensitive to the voice of God. He was in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing, all under the direction of the Spirit of God. May it be that each one of us would be sensitive to God's word and controlled and led by the Spirit of God. Simeon was given great insight, wasn't he? He was given great to see beyond Israel. He was given more, whenever you compare it, he was given more information than Zacharias. He was given more information than Elizabeth. He was given more information than Mary. And even what the angels said in total, he was given more information. In verse 32, he mentions, even before he talks about thy people Israel. Look at verse 32. A light to lighten the Gentiles. Unheard of at this time. The Lord was just born. Everything revolved around the Jewish nation. And here was this man coming into the temple and saying about the Lord Jesus Christ, he is a light to lighten the Gentiles. And of course, the Jewish nation would have taken umbrage at something like that. But a light to lighten the Gentiles. And then he goes on to say, That was even before he mentioned about thy people Israel. In verse 30, he mentions thy salvation. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which speaks about salvation. He also makes references to future events. In verse 34, and Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary, his mother, behold, this is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel. Now this was a baby. This is the baby. See the prophecy that Simeon was given. This child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, interesting. Yea, shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. So, he sees him as the light, sees him as the Savior, sees him as the glory of Israel, sees him as the emancipator of the Gentiles, if you like, and he saw a sword, sorrow, sadness, and suffering. God really blessed this man, Simeon, because he waited on him and was sensitive to his voice. He was promised life until he saw Christ, and he saw Christ. I'm sure he went out and found a place where he could die in peace. That's what the Lord promised him. Now, it's finished. Verse 38. That instant, let me go back to verse 37. No, verse 36. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Penuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years. So she was widowed 84 years. Which departed not from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers night and day. And she, that instant, gave unto the Lord and spake to God that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Simeon had just finished, and Anna comes in and spoke of him to all that look for redemption in Jerusalem. She was an absolutely amazing woman. And we're not going to guess her age, but some people put her at over 100. She got married. She was married for 7 years. She was widowed for 84 years. But this is an amazing woman. And her name means great. And she was from the tribe of Asher, which means happy. And so here in the barrenness of Israel is a gracious, happy woman waiting for the promised one of Israel to come. She was married for 7 years, a widow for 84 years, and during all the husband, she gave herself over to the service of the sanctuary. Can you think of anything better? She was praying and fasting night and day. Look at verse 37 again. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers night and day. And sometimes it's good to take time to read those verses just one word at a time and put the emphasis on it. But served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And so when you put the emphasis on it, you can see that this was certainly a wonderful woman indeed. Verse 38, where we mentioned just a moment ago, this very old lady who one day departed not from the temple, and she served God. Two godly people who were great examples of what each one of us should be in these days. Ministering to the younger folks for a start. ministering to the younger folks with the babe, fasting and praying, embracing Christ, preaching regarding his coming. And listen, we are not prophets, but we can go by what the prophets have said. And the book of Revelation is a prophecy. And of course, the first couple of chapters is to do with all the churches, the church of Ephesus and Smyrna and Thyatira and so forth, right up to the end of chapter 3, where we have the church of Laodicea. And then we see John is caught up into heaven. It's a picture of the rapture of the church. And we can say for sure and with surety that these things are going to happen. And it will happen in the future. That's prophecy. They were gracious and happy while they waited, and they prophesied. It's as if Mary and Joseph, Simeon and Anna surrounded the babe and beheld the man. They beheld the man. They saw what he was going to become. They saw what he was going to go through. They saw what he was going to do in the future. And that's why I've called this study, Behold the Man. Okay, so far we've looked at the preparation, the annunciation, the incarnation, the adoration, and the presentation. Now we're going to look at his subjection. And we should have time just to get through this. His subjection. Now, you don't need to turn to it, but in Jeremiah 31 verse 15 says, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentations and Rachel refused to be comforted for her children because they were not. Now please turn to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2 and verse 18. Matthew chapter 2 and verse 18 says this. I'll start at verse 17. Then was fulfilled that was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, in Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentations and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted because they were not. They are not. So Jeremiah's prophecy was fulfilled. Why? Or when and how? Well, you remember Herod spoke to the wise men. And the wise men said, well, the child was born at such and such a time. We have seen a star in the east and we've come to worship him. And Herod said, well, you go and find him and bring me word again and I'll go and worship him as well. He had no intentions of worshiping him. Herod became so enraged because he was tricked by the wise men. You see, the wise men saw Christ. And the first thing they did was they gave themselves. Then they gave gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But they gave themselves. And then, once you have a meeting with Christ, as it were, once they worship Christ, they went home another way. That's what the Bible says. They went home a different way. And folks, for those of us that have met Christ, we too shall go home a different way. We don't need to return to Herod, the old devil, the king of this world. We go home a different way. But in Matthew chapter 2 and verse 16, that tells us about Herod, who was so enraged because he was tricked by the wise men, that he killed all the babies born in that last 2 years. All the babies in Israel. 2 years and under. Matthew chapter 2 and verse 16. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, very angry, and sent forth and slew all the in Bethlehem and in all the coasts thereof from 2 years old and under, according to which diligently inquired of the wise men. And I believe, we have seen a star and we believe he might have been a year old, maybe 18 months, but Herod being as cunning as he was, would have added a little bit more on top of that, just to be sure he would have got the Christ child. Just in case the wise men were out by 3 or 4 months. And so Herod sent out his hordes of men and killed years of age and under. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, when he grew and he reached the age of 30, he was the only one that was 30 years of age. He was the only one, because every other child around about that age was killed and murdered. And so, a terrible thing. And it was prophesied in the book of Jeremiah. In Ramah, was there a voice of a herd of lamentation and weeping and great mourning? Rachel, Jacob, Israel, weeping children, and would not be comforted, because they are not. We're not told how many, but it may have gone into the hundreds and maybe even thousands of children killed, 2 years of age and under, in the whole region. Now these Herods and these Caesars would kill their own family to protect their grasp on the throne. They've been known to do it. They've killed their brothers, they've killed their mothers and so forth to make sure they stay on the throne. And this Herod would not let any child take his throne. We have heard that the king of Israel was born. Oh, let me know, and I'll come and worship him too. No way was he going to worship him. And in Matthew chapter 13, about Joseph and Mary being warned of God regarding what Herod would do. And they went into Egypt. Look at verse 13 of chapter 2 of Matthew. And it says this: "And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, and take thy mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thy there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." And so they knew what was happening. And it's a pity that all those other young children died. But maybe regarding what Herod would do, and they departed by night into Egypt. Then they came back when Herod was dead, and they settled in Nazareth. And the next time we read about Jesus, he was 12 years of age. Now we go back into the Gospel of Luke, please. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, and we commence reading at verse 41. "Now his parents went to Jerusalem every feast of the Passover. And when he was old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fasted, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they had been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting at the temple, both hearing them and asking them questions." Very interesting portion of scripture. 12 years of age, he took upon himself the form of a servant. Remember that. He was 12 years of age, and for 12 years, he was subject to his earthly parents. He was and never ceased to be God. But he took upon him, as I said, the form of a servant. And again, folks, we really can't understand the depth of this. In fact, there are many, many things that we cannot understand. They are too wonderful for us and for our tiny, finite minds. I just made a little list. It could go on forever. But that the omnipotent God should become a dependent infant, hard to understand. That the eternal God should come into the scene of time. That the Son of the Father should become the Son of Mary. That the Almighty God comes to a manger bed. That he whose train filled the temple was wrapped in swaddling clothes. That the Creator should become a carpenter. That the become the infant of days, and we could keep going on. Things too wonderful for us to comprehend, but we know it's all true. It's all true. And most of all, that He loved us so much that He came to this sinful world and died for us that we might have eternal life. This is Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, gave the sovereign Lord to be the subject son of Mary and Joseph. And He will stay subject to them for an incredible 30 years. We have read that He grew and developed in wisdom and stature and in favor with God. Now I want you to notice just a couple of things in this chapter. In verse 16 it says, and the babe was in the manger. Chapter 2 and verse 16. Then in chapter 2 verse 27, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus. And in verse 43 it says this, and when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried. The child Jesus tarried. Now there are three different words used by Luke in this passage, and they're giving us a progression, if you like, of our Lord's age. In verse 12, the Greek word is brithos, which means baby. In verse 27, the Greek word is pagion, which means young child. In verse 43, the Greek word pais, which means boy. So we go from a babe to a young child to a boy, a baby died in the home when the wise man came to visit him, and now he's a boy in the temple. The translators put child because he was still a young child, a babe, a child, a boy. Yet he never ceased to be Almighty God. And verse 48, Mary uses a very beautiful term, or a meaningful word, if you like, which is translated son, and it is tekion, which means begotten, or the child I have born. Look at verse 48. And when they saw him, they were said unto him, tekion, or begotten, or the son that I have born, why hast thou dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And so, a wonderful word just to describe what Mary was saying. And Isaiah had it spot on, didn't he, when he recorded, for unto us a child is born, but unto us a son is given. The son always was. He is eternal. The child was born, but the son was given. In every stage of our Lord's human development, there was a holy perfection. He remained in himself. His omnipotence, his omniscience, his omnipresence, all-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere, divine sense, immutable, unchanging. So, the Lord Jesus is now 12 years of age, and the Lord God has allowed us, as it were, just one glimpse of him. And what a beautiful glance or glimpse it is of his early years. It was Passover time. This meant that they had to go to Jerusalem and make some sacrifices. They had to be there for at least the last 3 feasts. Now, the first one would have been the Passover, which speaks of the blood. The blood was shed over in the Old Testament. And this of unleavened bread speaks of separation, holiness, no corruption, worship, his holy life. The third feast was the feast of first fruits, literally a promise to come. God, his best, is coming again. Now, we haven't got time to go into that. I remember speaking of those a long time ago. But his parents and everyone there would not have realized that these very feast. And they would not have realized that this very boy of 12 years of age was the fulfillment of them all. But of course he, within himself, would totally understand the significance of all those feasts. And once the celebrations were completed, all those attendants made their way back home. They would go by caravan, not the caravan we know today, but a lot of camels, maybe some horses and beasts, they would travel along, and because of the danger of the route that they were going, they would travel en masse, the whole family circle, maybe 100 people traveling together to go back to Nazareth. And of course, the boys would play together, they would meet together, they would talk together, and Mary and Joseph didn't miss Jesus until nearly a day. They would travel along the route, friends, because the journey was long, and sometimes there was a safety element as well. So the parents of Jesus departed, but Jesus himself lingered behind for a whole day. They traveled without him. Then he was there with the family group, and they looked for him. Then they returned to Jerusalem, and it says that after 3 days, sitting the both hearing them and asking them questions. That's wonderful how accurate the scriptures are. We know they're accurate, but it's wonderful the details they record. And sometimes we glance over it. It's very interesting to note he was neither teaching or being taught. No, he was not teaching. He was not being taught. To be teaching the doctors of the law would not be in keeping of his earthly status. He took upon him the form of a servant. And even though he had within himself the divine glory, he as a boy would not presume to teach these learned men. Plus the scriptures are very precise when they say hearing them and asking them questions. He was not learning from them. I wonder what they talked about. Would have been a wonderful conversation indeed. So Mary and Joseph find him after much seeking. Seek ye the Lord and ye shall find. For salvation, you can seek him. Anybody listening in? If you're seeking Christ, he can be found. If you're here, or anybody listening in, you can seek him for service, and he will supply that need. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. It says, while he may be found. Time is short, folks. Time is short. And when his parents find him, he's in the temple. And Mary speaks out of her motherly distress, if you like. Why hast thou dealt with us? Then we have the beautiful answer given in grace. Why? Or wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? Folks, in every aspect of his life, he was about his Father's business. In the carpenter's shop, he was about his Father's business. As he grew up, he was about his Father's business. As he went to the cross, he was about his Father's business. So the boy Jesus returns with his parents to Nazareth. Now for the next 18 years, he would live with Mary and Joseph in subjection. Behold the man. The presentation. The subjection. Let's pray. Our gracious God and our loving Heavenly Father, again we give thee thanks for thy word. We thank you for this very simple study on the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we can only scratch the surface, but yet there are details there that we need to take notice of, and we thank you for that. And would you pray, Lord, that we might be the men and women of God that you would have us to be. We would ask all this in our Savior's precious and worthy name. Amen. Amen.